This last week, I found myself feeling a little bit more restless than normal. Kind of waiting to hear what was the diocese going to say. And then we got two more weeks. So sad to say, we got two more weeks of being at home and not public mass. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think their intention at this point is to plan to reopen the parishes at that point. But anyway, I think part of this restlessness is simply the fact that we've been in this state of shutdown for so long. I'm just kind of hungering for something different, a change. Perhaps another part of it is that I feel, in a sense, the restlessness of the sheep, of you all. It's kind of like, oh, we're ready to be done with this. We want to go back to normal. Yeah, I'm with you. People are desiring to get back to Mass. They want to have the Eucharist. Many people have been offering different scenarios of how this could be done in a safe way. And so far we haven't done it. So I know it's a challenge. It's difficult. I too would prefer to have Mass with everybody here, right? It would be nice. While there's certainly reasons why some people should stay home, either because of their age, perhaps, or their pre-existing health conditions, it feels like we've stretched this out long enough, doesn't it? And we're just kicking the can down the road. These and many other such arguments can be mustered on the side of, let's just go back and let's reopen the churches. I'm confronted with this situation where I would prefer things to be different than what is being asked of me by a legitimate authority. I have myself considered the reasons for and against opening the churches, and I find I lean heavily on the side of opening the churches for public mass. Yes, finding some way to do social distancing, yes, we can do that, and appropriate measures being taken, yes, but for goodness sakes, let's have mass, okay? Not just here with me and a few others, select others, but with everyone. Let's do it. Let's try to find some solution. And yet, in obedience, I'm being asked not to do those things, to continue with the stay at home, to continue to celebrate Mass privately. And so I have to ask myself, what does it mean to be Catholic? What does it mean to be Catholic if I can't follow through on obedience? When I take into my own hands decisions which are not mine to make, when I decide that I know better, and even if I, objectively speaking, am able to maybe make a judgment or can see something or have some notion that says, this could work or this might be better, to reject authority and decide myself in opposition to what the church is asking is in a real way to reject the authority of Christ that he has put over me. If I were to reject this authority on this matter, on what grounds would I stop from doing so in other matters? As simple as it would seem to do so, I would begin to do, in a sense, go down this slippery slope, to slide down it. So I either submit in obedience, or in a sense I become a Protestant. Nothing against Protestants, they're good people. They just have a different way of organizing themselves. That's a fine line. During the Reformation, Luther and Henry VIII and company and other reformers had some legitimate concerns, didn't they? They had things that they saw that were problematic. And, you know, they saw these things. They had some personal issues too, of course, some of them, many of them, we all do. But there were some matters which they could point to and say, the church needs to address that better. This abuse or that practice needs to be adjusted. But instead of waiting for the church or submitting to the church when the matter had been dealt with, they disagreed with the church and decided to go their own way. It began with very small things, very small matters. Can you imagine, for instance, leaving the church over indulgences? I don't know if you know much about them, but it's a pretty, on the scale of importance of doctrines and teachings, it's pretty far down there. Maybe some would disagree, but that's my little bit informed opinion, I guess. Luther left the church, the priesthood, the Eucharist, for all intents and purposes, he left the practice of the Catholic faith. I too could find myself going my own way in a short order if I consent to disobedience, even in small matters. What began as a small dispute, a little disagreement, grew into a defiance and eventually a rejection of the Catholic Church, her authority, papal magisterium, and many other things. There were, of course, many other circumstances and events that led to the Reformation, but for Luther, it began with a little bit of a stubbornness, a preference to what he had reasoned himself, what he had decided on his own terms, versus being obedient to what the church was asking him to do, or even recanting what he had said. Now, could the church have been more sensible on these matters? Probably. More diplomatic? Yes, probably should have done that, could have done that. Could her leaders at that time have been more far-sighted? I believe they could have, yes. Luther was not solely to blame for the things that turned out as the Reformation. But there's no question that his obstinance led him out of the Catholic Church to create his own church. It's a sad tale, really. It's a very sad tale, if you know it. A small little wedge which split the church in a way which to this day has not been healed. So back to the matter at hand, where we are today, it's easy to disagree with what is being asked or what's being told to us. It's easy for me and for you to decide we know best, or that our way of thinking is more in tune with what is needed in a given situation. However, we need to be careful here. It's perfectly legitimate to disagree, in this case, with what is being done or not being done or what's being asked. These are not matters of doctrine, after all. This is the realm of practical application and pastoral practice. But all the same, when the bishops, and in this case our diocesan administrator, have decided on some course of action, we must respect that request. We can certainly share our struggles and ask that the matter be reconsidered, but at the end of the day, if we were to go our own way on this, we would be living with a Protestant mindset, or at least living in a way that leads us down that road. Protestants have organized their churches in a different way than we have. They have decided how they will do it. They talk about this. I've talked to pastors, Protestant pastors, who say sometimes, you know, I wish we had the structure, the authority that you all have as Catholics. So at times they even see it, you know. Let's not pretend to be Catholic, but live as Protestants. We can't be enthusiastic about some Catholic doctrines and disciplines and outright reject others or legitimate authority. We're either Catholic in the full sense and live accordingly, or we should just admit that we're no different than the Protestants, and we would prefer to organize ourselves as they do. We can't have both. We have to have one or the other. If we want to reject the authority of Christ's church, then we can't claim that we are living in obedience to him and in full communion with him and his church. To reject the legitimate authority of the church on matters which are within their appropriate sphere of authority is to reject Christ. Why? Why is that? Well, because we believe Christ speaks through the church, through the authority of those who have been put over us. Obedience is not an optional way of living. We either submit to it and live under it, or we reject it, or come up with some other ecclesial model. There are lots of different ways and models of how churches organize themselves. But we are Catholic. We're Catholic. So we follow the model which Christ established and which has been in place since the beginning. There are countless stories of saints, and there are many instances within the church, stories of history and so forth, where superiors or persons who had authority could have made better decisions, or maybe just didn't make a timely decision, or failed to give clear guidance on a decision, or maybe times when they were just slow to respond to a valid request. And there's lots of times, too, when these decisions were made where they were good decisions, but we just didn't agree with them. In any case, those who remained obedient and followed what was being asked stayed united to Christ. We are never hurt by remaining obedient to a legitimate request. It does us no harm to accept direction, even when it goes against our preference. In fact, it might be good for us. It may do us a great deal of good to become more docile and to let go of our pride or our notions of superiority or whatever it is which makes us turn something into a challenge where we want to go a different way. That keeps us from submitting to obedience. Humbly doing what is asked of us may be difficult. It is difficult at times. But it is a real way to grow in holiness. It's a real way to be with our Lord. And it is the way that is being offered to us right now. This can happen in any part of our lives. We can accept a situation that we might not prefer, and through this dying to self, we can grow and be formed. There are, of course, times when we do need to resist and fight against what we are being asked or told to do. When we are asked to do something contrary to the faith, for instance, or contrary to nature, or contrary to divine law. The current situation is none of these things. Rather, it is merely contrary to my preference. And so for me, and perhaps for you too, it is an act of obedience that will in the long run affirm my faith and my trust in God. Because in a moment when I could have done something different, when I could have gone my own way, I chose rather to say, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Jesus is the good shepherd. He leads his flock. In this unusual time, we are being tested to see how much we really trust in Jesus and his church. Do we really believe he cares for us through his church? Or is it all a farce? Is it just a facade? Are we at root Protestants who decide for ourselves and who are our own authority? Or are we Catholic, sheep who follow the shepherd? In a small way, right now, we can reaffirm our commitment to Christ and his church, even though it may be in a way that we would not prefer. Joseph, you who have been obedient to the will of God, even in difficult moments, pray for us. Mary, our mother, who always chose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, pray for us.